Hi, this is Sarah.
And this is Rachel.
And this is The Ripa Diaries, a podcast where we rip apart, episode by episode, The Vampire Diaries. Warning, this is a rewatch podcast. We always bring up spoilers, especially how they relate to this current episode.
Definitely. This week, we're talking about Season 2, Episode 5, Kill or Be Killed. This episode is the episode where they have the Historical Society Volunteer Picnic Day, which doesn't really matter for the plot, but it's where Liz finds out about everyone being a vampire, literally like everyone. Yeah. And yeah, a lot goes down around that. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm not going to say it's a bad episode because it's not.
No.
But it's not my favorite of the season. So I'm curious, like, I don't know, when we talk about this, how much there is to dig into, because it's definitely like a setup episode. It's a bridge. Yeah. It's getting us where we need to go. And it's really good at that, and there's some really good things here, but I think for the most part, this is like a bridge episode.
Yeah, it almost feels like filler. It's like we needed to have something kind of happen, but nothing to advance the plot too much.
Yeah, we just got to tee things up, get them where they need to go.
Exactly.
And also get a lot of information to the audience, which is a big part of the start of this episode, because we start in a flashback of Mason Lockwood, what we don't really know at the time is a human Mason Lockwood.
Yes.
Who... You know, he's in Florida. He's his surfer boy self, apparently.
Sure.
And we see him getting into a fight with his best friend, who he ends up killing in this, like, fight in a parking lot. And, of course, triggers his curse. So, not human anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, so that obviously is, like, a big information learn, a background on Mason. And what a way to have killed someone. First of all, your best friend.
Yeah.
Second of all, his head like smacks the pavement and he just dies. Like, trauma for life, for real.
Trauma for life, for real. And yeah, also leading up to this fight, like the friend is very fixated on the idea that Mason has been like sleeping with his girlfriend, Marla, the friend's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like he's very fixated on this, very upset, very tense situation.
Yes.
Yeah. Truly tense. Terrible way to become a werewolf.
Yeah. And also so confusing because Mason's like, I'm not even sleeping with your girlfriend. Like, what are you talking about?
I have genuinely no clue what you're talking about.
I would never do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very weird situation. We'll come back around to this one at the end. For now, we see that we're getting this because Mason is telling Tyler about the curse and like he's telling him what happens. And he says, is that any death by your hands, whether it's a car crash, an accident, any death is what will trigger the curse. And I think that's so interesting because I would love to know for sure, like, how far that extends. Like,
I know. I'm always thinking about this.
You know, like, what if you manufacture a medicine that goes wrong and kills your patient? Like, does that count? Like, I don't know. It's funny to think about, like, how direct and indirect does death have to be?
I know.
And so, okay, so Mason is telling Tyler all of this, and it clearly is a trade for information. This is not of the good of Mason's heart that he's finally sharing this. It is clearly because Tyler has told him he will give him the moonstone if he tells him all of this. And Tyler, what a snake.
He is such a snake.
But in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. Like, he's kind of, I mean, he's kind of right. Like
he is right. Mason is hiding information.
Yeah, and he probably can also pick up on the fact that he's only telling him this to get the moonstone. Yeah.
He's not really trying to help Tyler, which I do think ultimately, like, Mason does care about Tyler and is doing this to help Tyler.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But it's kind of like this situation Elena always gets herself in where it's like, yeah, but by, like, withholding information from the people you care about, you're putting them in more danger.
Yeah, you're putting them in more danger. You're hurting them. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it's not really the right thing. And, of course, what ends up happening in the scene is Tyler, like, he shows Mason the little secret vault thing where the moonstone was being hidden, but Tyler has already stolen it days ago.
Snake.
So when Mason looks in there, there's nothing there.
Yep.
And so it's just like, oh, I don't know where it is. I guess that was the only place I thought where it could be. Now we've got no clue. And it's like, yeah, Tyler, your pocket.
Yeah.
Mason should have known. Turn out the pockets.
Yeah, which also, doesn't he just have it on his person at this point?
He always does.
He's always just holding it. I don't know.
Yeah, so wild. It's just funny. So they're in their little game. Mason has no clue right now where to find the moonstone. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of obviously the mission of the episode is getting the moonstone, as it has been the last couple. Next, we go to the Gilbert house where Jeremy and Elena are debriefing on the Lockwood situation, which I think is so cute. It's nice to see them like finally getting to be like siblings, you know, now that Jeremy is involved, like they can actually talk about what's going on. And I think it's interesting, like it kind of does seem like a huge relief for Elena, like this conversation is so normal.
Yeah.
She, of course, does say, like, she doesn't want Jeremy involved in any of this. She doesn't want him to get in any danger. And he's like, by definition of being in this family, I'm involved. But
true.
What about Jenna then, Jeremy?
Yeah, no, this is what I'm thinking. This is like the one thing. This is my Roman Empire.
Yes.
Why? Why are we not telling Jenna? Like, you see, at least Jeremy knows what's up and what to look out for. Steer clear of Tyler, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally. We said we'd bring it up every episode this season. I really will. We are.
It kills me.
It's really crazy. And it's like, yeah, Jeremy, that does, you know, make sense by definition of being in this family. You are directly involved in this and are directly in danger. So you do deserve to know. What about Jenna? I guess, like, the Gilbert name, the blood is stronger. Or no, the Gilbert name is stronger than blood.
I guess. Even though they're
blood related to Jenna, who cares?
Yeah, she's fine. Jenna Summers?
Yes, Summers. She doesn't have a founding family last name. Guess she doesn't get to know.
Yeah, I don't know. We've already talked about this, but maybe they expect Alaric to tell her. I don't know. Still doesn't seem fair.
I think they're still gripping on to the, like, if she doesn't know she's safe thing, which we'll get to that one next episode.
Dumb. Yeah.
So, also dumb, Stefan is waiting in Elena's room. They're going to go along with this we're in a fight in public, fighting, but in private, fighting, we're good. And so, you know, they remind us that they're sneaking around, that they're trying to hide that they're together from Catherine, let her think she's winning. And they do agree to say that when they do publicly fight at the picnic thing today, that, you know, Stefan's going to say, I can't do this anymore. And Elena's going to say,
yeah, that means I love you.
Yeah. And Elena will say, fine, Stefan, whatever. And that means I love you too.
Yes. Yep.
You know, it's a way to show that they're not really fighting, that they do still love each other. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of cute. Selena's making the best of a bad situation.
It's cute. No, it's funny. It's funny and it's cute.
I would
like
have
it.
So much fun with this if this were me, first of all.
I know. Yeah. I would be like throwing shit across the picnic. I'd be like trash talking. I'd be like, I hate Stefan. He's the worst.
Yeah. No, I'd be like, when I throw a chair at your head, that means I love you.
I would be selling it. I would be selling it. Selling it so much that I'm not selling it. People are like, it's obviously fake.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say so much that he'd be like, is it actually real? Like, when did we cross that line? Because
one or the other. People would either know it's really fake.
Yeah.
Or he would really be like, oh, you actually do hate me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to cross a line either way. Not sure which one. Also, I have to say, I'm going to bring this up a few times this episode. I don't know if this is just me, but I noticed it particularly in this scene. Elena's makeup, I loved it.
Okay, no, I actually thought that too. Like, she looks so, so good in this episode, especially in this, like, these opening scenes.
Yeah, this first one with Stefan. Something about the camera angle, like, it really allows you to see, like, she's got these really long eyelashes on. She has the perfect 2010s smoky eye. You know they brought out the Naked palette for that.
Oh, they absolutely did.
They absolutely did. It looks so good. And it kind of almost doesn't look good in a way because it's very, like, heavy concealer. And, like, you know, now if I stepped out in that look, you'd be like, are you okay?
Yeah.
But in 2010s, this was the look. And she looks amazing.
I kind of like it.
I love it.
Even now, like in 2023, I was like, I mean, obviously just because it's on her in 2010.
Yeah, that's true.
But in my head, I was like, she looks amazing.
Yeah,
I
if
love
I saw
her.
Someone step out in it right now, I'd be like, weirdly dated, but okay. Yeah. But you know, in 10 years, people are going to be watching this show and they're going to be trying to replicate that look to be like, I want the 2010s look. Like,
yes, exactly.
Like, that's going to be like that look of that era that people, like, later on, like, kids are going to try to, like, learn.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be trendy again. Like, oh my gosh.
All the YouTube videos, like, trying to do it. Yeah, yeah.
So just had to throw that out there. But then we go to the Forbes house. We're also got to say Caroline's makeup is really good too. Something about everybody's looks in this one are really good.
Yep.
And so Liz and Caroline are talking about this, like, park cleanup thing. I don't know. Everyone's volunteering to clean up this new park.
Sure.
And, you know, Liz is, she says she's going and Caroline's surprised she'd go because usually she just works and they're bantering and, you know, Liz is saying
bantering,
full on fighting.
Yeah, basically fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caroline, not very nice.
No. And I think there's, like, some purpose to it in trying to keep her mom, like, at a distance because she's a vampire. And I think a lot of it is her just being, like, a petty teenager. And, you know, Liz does mention that she noticed Caroline has been different. Which again, I think is then why Caroline does start really getting mean to her after she says that.
Yeah.
Because of course, once Liz is like, oh, you're being really different. Like, what's going on with you? I think that kind of gave Caroline the like, oh, I need to like put distance between us. That's kind of what makes her flip that switch into not, being so nice, because she does have to keep her at an arm's length.
Yeah. Now. She like, can't have her finding out.
No.
Yeah.
So, you know. I'm glad that we're starting to get the Caroline-Liz dynamic, because I love them. Like, the mother-daughter duo there is so great, because we get so few mother-daughter storylines in this show, because almost nobody has a mother.
No one has any parents.
It's literally just Caroline. Yeah. So I'm glad we're starting to get it, even if it is this, like, tense, you know, not-so-good place for them. I'm like, it's nice, because it does become a main plot at some point, and I'm glad that that is starting now.
Yeah.
Onto the park, to this cleanup project.
Yes, now we're at the park. Carol Lockwood, interim mayor. Not sure if she's still interim at this point.
I think she's just mayor now.
I think she's just real mayor now.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's giving some sort of speech, whatever, introducing this volunteer day, the day of the event of the day in Mystic Falls. And Stefan and Mason have a little chit chat. Stefan approaches Mason and is like, you know, he's apologizing for Damon. He's like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm the nice brother, saying stuff like that. And, you know, Stefan tries to get him to take a truce. And Mason says, well, you know, I offered Damon the same, but he didn't want to take it. Stefan is always looking for the chance to
Stefan is ready to beef at any moment. He doesn't care. He did try the nice guy approach pretty earnestly.
He did try.
But as soon as that failed, he was like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, he's his own good cop, bad cop.
He really
he
is.
He was like, okay, well, unless it's a full moon, I can kill you.
Yeah.
So, we better make this truce happen. And so Mason is kind of like, sure, yeah, like, we'll have this little truce. Yeah.
Yeah, he really wants none of it in a way, too. He's just kind of like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like, they have a little shake on it, but you can see it's tenuous.
We're probably going to kill each other. So.
Yeah, exactly. Which is literally what Damon says. Mason walks away and Damon comes up.
Which I have to interject. I love the shot that they do there, because they zoom in on Stefan, like, watching Mason walking away.
Mm-hmm.
And then it quickly, like, whip pans to Damon standing next to him all of a sudden. And I love it. It's
really good.
I don't know. I have to look who directed this episode. I don't know if they are a new director. But, like, there's a lot of really good, like, camera direction and, like, choices being made in this one that I don't feel like I've seen up until this point. So.
Yeah.
Props to the director of this one.
For all we said about it being sort of like a filler episode,
yeah,
there were a lot of really good choices in this episode, included. But yeah, Damon sort of does like the, you know, almost like he appears out of nowhere, like, you know, behind Stefan's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And he says basically, I hope you don't think a shake was enough to like make things okay. And Stefan is like, no. And he's like, he's sassing him. He's being his sassy Stefan. I love him. He's like, no, I actually think you probably just got us killed, and he's gonna kill us the first chance he gets, like you said.
Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic. And I think it's interesting, like, how it's making Stefan and Damon, their bond stronger. Mm-hmm. They're being forced now to be like, you guys gotta play nice. Like, we're totally over where we were a few episodes ago about them wanting to kill each other over Catherine and Elena, and now they're just like, we gotta do this.
We go to the grill, of course, got to have some teens hanging out at the Mystic Grill, and the girls, Sarah and Amy, are playing pool, and they're talking about Jeremy being hot, which
is so funny.
Which, this is random, but I've been seeing a lot of Jeremy thirst traps on my TikTok for you, and I was kind of like, I get it. Like, usually I laugh at that part, but recently I was like, okay,
yes,
I see it.
Okay, I wanted to talk about this too. I'm glad that you've brought this up, because
I will always bring up the hot men.
Of course. But like, okay, so Steve McQueen is objectively an attractive man.
Yes.
He is very attractive. But I have never in my head thought of him as cute, because in my head he's always been like baby. Which is funny, because when this was airing, I was like a couple years younger than he was playing. Like, I was like 13 and he was playing 15, so I don't know why in my head I was like, oh, he's so young. Child
again. It's because everyone on the show looks like they're 25.
That's true. And they call him like a baby and act like he's so young. And he's older than Nina. He's like a year older than her.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, like, he isn't even, because she actually was like 17, 18 when yeah, they did the pilot. Yeah, she's the only
one who's like close to her age. Yeah.
At least in the first season.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's not that young. So I don't know why in my head I was always like, he's a baby. I can't think he's attractive because yeah. he's just a baby.
Which, I think there's something about just playing a little brother. It's like.
Yeah, in my head that always.
And Elena definitely babies him. So yes. it's like.
Which is why I always find it so weird when he gets with Bonnie. We'll talk about that in a few episodes.
Yes.
But I was always like, wait, what? But they're technically like, yes. I don't think there's even a year difference between them. We've looked it up before. We'll have yeah. to look it up when it actually like
yeah.
happens. But yeah, I thought this scene was so funny because I was like, Jeremy. But then I was looking at him and I was like, he is attractive.
He is. No, he is. Like, I just have never realized it before.
Yeah. In my head, he's always a baby. That's why I never thought anything of it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, no.
But Jeremy yeah. approaches Tyler in yep. this situation. The girls are watching, and Jeremy goes up to Tyler to ask him how he's been. They haven't talked since that like funeral for his dad when Mason like kicked him out.
Yep.
But Tyler does say that like Jeremy was really cool at the funeral, and you yeah. know, it was really nice of him and whatever. And I just think that's funny again that Mason kicked him out when Tyler yeah. openly is like, Jeremy, I'm glad you were there. Like, that was nice.
Yeah, a little uncalled for on Mason's part. Yeah.
And so then Amy and Sarah see their opening and they come over and, course, you know, they immediately start to decide, like, let's all go hang. Let's do yep. something. And Tyler invites them all to his house to go hang since obviously all he's got is his mom and she's at this park cleanup thing so they can party and whatever in yep. his house.
But really quickly, I was thinking about this realistically, like we were saying, Jeremy, maybe at this point he's 16, they're 17.
Yeah.
They're just going to go casually day drink at the Lockwood Mansion on what is probably a Sunday.
Like, I mean, you've been a teenager before.
I guess. And I think it also fits for a small town. It's like, oh, 100%. What else will we do besides drink?
Yeah, exactly.
My mom's nice yeah, hall, I don't know.
Yeah, and but like at least funny. Tyler and Jeremy, like they've got no parental like whatever, so why not? Yeah. Which of course is not why Jeremy's doing this. He's very intentionally doing this to try to get more info
yeah,
from Tyler. You know, we know that from the conversation he had with Elena earlier where it's like clearly Jeremy's looking for ways to get more involved. Yeah. So that's why he's going along with this. So they all go to Tyler's and mm-hmm. we'll get to that in a minute. So back to the park, Mason goes out, you know, to come over to Liz and immediately starts asking about the council, the founders council. And then he jumps straight into outing Stefan and Damon to Liz in public. They're at yep. this public park. Everyone in town is there.
Yeah.
And he just immediately is like, you've got vampires right under your nose. Like,
yep.
It's just so funny that he just like escalates so quickly, which he kind of has to because Liz is very like. We're not talking about the council, like yeah, you're not yeah. involved, you're not allowed to know.
Yeah, so he goes, it's almost straight like he like name drops
yes.
to kind of to like prove his
to
point.
To get the in. Yeah. But it doesn't work for a second because Liz is immediately in denial. She is like, Damon isn't a vampire because he's my friend. That's a level of delusional that I really relate to personally. Is
yeah, the same. It's like nothing could ever be wrong with my friend. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I really relate to that too. And then I also love that he's Mason is trying to get her to like realize and think about it critically mm-hmm. and Liz is like no look, they're here, they're out in the sun, like whatever. Yeah. And I just love the way the line is delivered. He's like, it's not 1864, they've evolved yeah. they've learned how to walk in the sun, Liz, come yeah. on.
So
it's just
funny.
Really funny. So yeah, Mason, you know, he's trying to convince her but Liz is still on the fence, like she's still mm-hmm. skeptical, doesn't want to believe mostly yeah. and Mason is like, I'll prove it to you.
Yeah,
just kind of, we kind of leave dot, it there dot, for right
dot.
Now.
We'll
yeah,
come
dot
back
dot dot.
That.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we see Caroline complaining to Elena about her mom and how they aren't getting along. You know, they're bonding, Caroline yeah. and Elena. It's nice since season one. We never really saw them together in season one. Their lives
yeah,
are so
no.
separate. But now, like, you know, Caroline can really only, she can't talk to Matt. She can't talk to Bonnie. She can't
yeah.
really talk to Elena anymore. So they're bonding about this stuff. And Caroline does ask Elena how things are going along with Stefan. And Elena is acting. She is, like, putting on her role about how horrible everything is. And I don't know. It's interesting because you do start to see those, like, the doubt in Caroline of, mm-hmm. like, kind of feeling bad about what she's doing and realizing
yeah.
how negatively this is affecting her friend. Meanwhile, back to Liz.
Yeah, back to Liz.
Damon goes over to Liz first, actually, to ask, mm-hmm. you know, what she was talking to Mason about. Yeah,
of course he oversaw everything.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Damon, he notices that Liz gets kind of, like, upset and is mm-hmm. acting weird when he's talking to her about this. And he asks her what's wrong. And she covers quickly and says it's about Caroline.
Yep.
Smart.
Very clever.
And, you know, Damon is just kind of like, well, put me to work. Like, give me something to do.
Yeah.
What's Mason doing? Go put me, like, out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'll go work with Mason out in the woods.
Yeah, just the two of us bros us out boys. In the woods. Nothing suspicious. If he doesn't come back, don't worry about it.
Yeah, he went back to Florida.
He left this park and went immediately to Florida. But, of course, he doesn't get the chance to do that.
Yep.
You know, I do think it's nice that he's, like, asking for something to do. Although, of course, he's just spiraling, trying to get alone with Jason.
Yeah, exactly. And figure out what they were talking about, if anything.
Yeah. But he is in the scene, like, really genuinely showing concern for Liz and her feelings, which I think is nice because it'll come back around. But they're friends.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
So, Elena goes over to talk to Stefan with Caroline and Damon watching. And Damon says, why are you being such a bitch to your mom, to Caroline? Which is so funny. Again, he cares. He's a real friend. Yeah,
exactly. No, I really, really like this choice of what he's saying because it's so Damon, like the phrasing. Yes. Like, why are you being such a bitch to Liz?
Yeah.
But also, they bring it full circle, of course. And they could have had anything be said in this little, like, filler, whatever. Yeah. But just the fact that Damon is asking why she's treating Liz like that and sort of saying, don't, like, in asking. I don't know. It comes back. We'll get there.
It comes back. It's such an intentional choice. They're trying to show us some things that will come back around.
Yes, but they are friends.
Yes. So I love this Caroline and Damon, you know, just listening in to Stelena fighting.
Yeah, they're just watching them chit-chat. Yeah.
Stelena know they're putting on the fake fight, and they're putting on the show, and they do the whole thing. They do the I forgot the phrase already that Stefan says that means he loves her and she does the fine whatever Stefan.
And also, but before they even get to those, because those kind of wrap up the fight, they're little like fake lines.
Yes.
They have
and
different
meanings.
And then
they meanings. Walk away. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get to that, Elena asks some real questions that she should have asked in the pilot. She maybe not the pilot, but like Friday Night
Episode
Bites.
Episode 10 or whatever she found out.
Literally at all ever. Yeah. I guess she doesn't know about Catherine at that point. But yeah, Elena asks Stefan, you know, how can you hate her and have such strong feelings of hatred for Catherine, but still love me? We look exactly the same, which, you know, isn't exactly the question she needs to be asking because obviously they're such different people. That's how he can have these different feelings.
Yeah.
But she's almost there. She's like almost getting to a very real question she has been too happy to overlook.
Yeah. But that's the thing that's interesting about this fight is, like, to me it did definitely read as, like, super fake because it was definitely things that, like you're saying, like, the, like, you hate her but you love me and we look alike. How can you do that? And it's like, well, that's, like, a silly question.
Yeah.
But you're right that it's, like, the reason she's picking those things is because they're just close enough to the real issues that
exactly.
it's, like, sort of believable. And Damon says off of this conversation, relationships are about communication, which I just thought was really funny that he just says that to Caroline off of this.
Yeah.
He likes to hear himself talk. I really relate to that.
He's always just throwing in some, like, unsolicited commentary.
Yeah, like,
which,
like,
same.
Literally same. We have this whole podcast for this very reason.
Yeah.
Like, Caroline doesn't care. Yeah. She didn't want to hear that. It's just funny.
Yeah.
Back to the Lockwood House.
Back at the Lockwood House. Yes, they've brought the party from the grill to the Lockwood House. They're partying, and
the scene, Amy comes up to Tyler. Amy, so in the last one we saw Amy and Tyler ended up like making out at the swimming hole thing, and like, you know, they had a whole little hookup will they won't they situation, of course, was all compelled, and so she ends up, you know, leaving and being like, I don't know why I'm doing this. So Amy goes up to Tyler and apologizes to him for slutting it up. Slutting it up?
Yeah, what?
That killed me. I was dying laughing.
Yeah. Slutting it up, first of all, so odd. Second, you can really tell, like, the time this was filmed because the fact that she would even apologize for that.
Yeah, for slutting it up. Yeah.
Also,
need
she does
to,
nothing.
She does nothing.
Just
There's
like, I'm not actually interested. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's literally no reason to apologize for kissing him and then being like, actually, I don't want to hook up in this cellar that used to hold slaves. Sorry.
Yeah,
like,
no.
There's no reason to,
exactly. to
apologize.
No, no reason to apologize. But speaking of apologies, I have my own apology. Not to laugh, but I genuinely have an apology. In the last episode, I said that two episodes ago.
Yeah.
I said that the Amy was black. Amy is not black. The actress that plays Amy is Indian. So she's therefore canonically also Indian.
Mm-hmm.
The choice was still bad in the show.
The choice was still bad. And the show still mistreats POC.
Yeah, for sure. For
point sure. still stands.
For sure. But I apologize for not doing my research properly and getting too excited to like to shit on the show a little bit.
So thank
bit
you to the person who DM'd us for correcting us.
Yeah, thank you to the person, friend of the show, Danielle. Thank you for your for your message telling me I was wrong, because that was a big oversight on my part. So.
All good. I think the point still stands. They mistreat POC. The point POC. Was bad.
I still stand by my point, but...
Yeah, fair, fair.
Bad on me also, so I'm no better, but...
I would say one is much worse than the other, especially since you're apologizing and I don't know if we've gotten that.
Yeah.
Anyway. To continue, so she is now made to apologize for slutting it up.
Yes.
But they do agree to be friends now. They're going to be friends. Yeah. And, you know, they're there because Sarah has a crush on Jeremy. And so Sarah asks Jeremy if she can look at his sketchbook. Classic. I've had a crush on a man before. This is how you get him.
Yep.
And so everybody ends up gathering around to check out his art.
Oh, my God.
And every single drawing is of a wolf or a wolf man or a man turning into a wolf. Like, did he sit down with his sketchbook right before they went and was like, I gotta have this ready for when Tyler asks to see my sketchbook so that he knows I know. Like, what? Why was every single sketch a wolf? I don't know.
I have no idea. It's so... Yeah, every sketch is a wolf man, you know, like a wolf with like the moon or something like that is one of them. So wild. And then, you know, they're flipping through this and there's some looks being exchanged between Tyler and Jeremy.
Oh my God, the looks of like the Tyler judging Jeremy for this werewolf art. It's so funny.
Yeah. And then... This is so... It's just so ridiculous.
It's Tyler, so ridiculous.
Tyler's like... Come into my dad's office.
Let I've got some drawings.
Yeah, let me show
you
some of my dad's drawings.
Yeah.
So they walk in there and like Jeremy leads the way and Tyler follows him in. Jeremy's looking at the desk. He's like, I don't really see anything. Like, what's up? Out of nowhere, Tyler like chokes him up against the wall. And he's like, why are you drawing wolves? Like, what is the meaning of this? Which also, I feel like all like teenage boys have like a wolf obsession.
Yeah, or any sort of animal
like,
creature.
Yeah, they just, like, draw wolves.
It's really
like...
not that weird. But the fact that Tyler goes straight for a chokehold just because Jeremy was drawing a bunch of wolves.
Yeah.
That's psychotic.
Yeah, no. So wild. His aggression is still not in check.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah. But I honestly commend Jeremy for putting this whole plot into motion because he's really got it going now.
He's really committing. I do really like when Jeremy is in the fold. He's...
Yeah. Oh, he's willing to do anything to get things rolling.
He does not give... a rat. He's like,
I'm gonna draw a whole sketchbook full of wolves.
Yeah, he's like, real quick, let me flip through my pages of my sketch pad.
He's always willing. Like, you know, Damon and Stefan aren't playing around like this. They're gonna go straight to the point. Jeremy, he's like, I'm gonna leave the clues.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get
plot.
I'm gonna get Tyler going.
Yeah, underrated schemer. Jeremy
for sure. And so that's where we're at with Tyler and Jeremy for now. Is of course now. Tyler has pretty much added himself that Jeremy is
Jeremy,
in the know.
In this scene, he does admit, like, I know, you know, we all know.
Yeah, we know. I read some journals. We'll get back to them.
Yeah.
Back to the park now.
Yes, more important.
More important. Damon goes to talk to Mason, and we get more of their great repertoire. You know, they're so good with the dialogue. And they agree that the nice thing is overrated. Stefan's the nice one, and that's so overrated. And Mason is obviously very tense in this conversation. I think he's really realizing how much trouble he's gotten himself into, and, like, the power dynamic is not in his favor right now.
Definitely not.
And he walks away. Of course, they don't know what else Mason has gotten himself into. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. So Stefan comes up to Damon to ask, you know, what he was talking to Mason about, and, you know, Damon pivots the conversation to call out the Stelena fake fighting instead.
Yeah.
And we've said it before, but he's so perceptive. Like, Damon immediately is like, you and Elena don't fight, and you definitely don't fight over me. Like, which he's right. They do fight a little bit, but not over him and not in public like that.
Yeah.
Which whether Caroline or anyone else would pick up on that is unclear, but Damon definitely
Damon knows. Yeah, he knows it's fake.
Less perceptive is Liz, who was explicitly told that her best friend is a vampire and still didn't believe it until she saw him choking on lemonade at the fair that was,
yeah,
or fair, the park that was like, it had vervain in it. So Damon drinks the lemonade.
Yep. Gets vervain out. Yeah. He's obviously like, he's bent over. He spits it out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He tells Stefan it was vervain. And they sort of realize, and we see Liz watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liz now knows. That. She has no excuse for not knowing now.
Exactly. Cut to, like, a little bit later, Damon and Stefan. Damon's, like, rinsing out his mouth, and he immediately goes, I'm going to kill him. Actually, Stefan agrees. They, yeah, like, they say, we need to put him down, which
he's a dog.
Yeah, like a dog, which maybe that pun was sort of intentional, but I think
it,
like,
was a little bit.
Put him down. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they go off into the woods to find him.
Yeah. I am also shocked that the Founders Council, that like Liz and everybody else, did not have the idea sooner of putting the vervain in the community drinks at these parties. Yeah. Like, I know they still thought that vampires couldn't come out in the sun, yeah, but like, why would you not do it as a precaution? Because then also all of your people have, yeah, vervain in, yeah, their system. And if there is a vampire around, then they're protected. I'm just shocked that this is the first time that this came up.
Yeah. Which
and they immediately caught a vampire.
Yeah. You immediately, it works. Which they do end up doing that in the future. I think when Bonnie's dad is mayor, don't they put,
yeah, they put it in like the water supply and like in the grill and stuff.
Should have done that forever ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the problem was, I think the Salvators were the only ones that were handing out vervain. Yeah, so they wouldn't have had a constant like supply of it anyway. But
yeah.
I don't know. It feels like a thing they should have fixed sooner. So that's interesting. Yeah. Meanwhile, Elena is sitting by this little waterfall,
yep,
pretending to be upset over her fight with Stefan.
Yep.
And Caroline comes over to check on her. And I love Elena's subtle digs at Caroline in this, mm-hmm, scene. Like, you know, she says, like, you're just trying to be a good friend. And, like, yep, things that are true are, like, clearly trying to get at Caroline, yeah, and really make her feel bad.
Yeah.
Which is fair. And the way that this waterfall also was so clearly so loud that they had to redub all of this dialogue kills me as, like, a person who really pays attention to, like, yeah, filming and, like, techniques and whatever. I was laughing so hard. I was like, this was all ADR, like, 1,000%. It's, like, just slightly not matching the lips.
Yep.
Clearly that waterfall was blasting. I just had to call that out because I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, that's a good catch. But they quickly realize, like, something is wrong. Caroline, yeah, and Elena do. And then they go up to, like, the higher ground.
Yeah, because they see Liz, like,
yeah, bolting. They see Liz tailing it out of there. And then, so they are going to kind of, like, investigate, see what's going on. And then come back to, Stefan and Damon are in the woods, mm-hmm, looking for Mason.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, also with Caroline, when she was talking, because she ran up to her mom, and she, like, mm-hmm, caught her, and yeah, she was like, you're leaving,
yeah,
and, you know, she's, like, really weird and just tries to get out of there, and, yeah, clearly it's like, okay, Liz is going, something's going on, the cops are all getting, mm-hmm, pulled in, but I do want to say, I'm sorry to Caroline, but your mother is the sheriff, like, it's weird to be mad at her for taking her job seriously and being like, I gotta go, like, something's going on, yeah, like, obviously it was ended up being a this vampire situation, but like, what if it had been something serious and Caroline's like, my mom sucks, she's, yeah, leaving, she's the picnic,
terrible
thing.
Mom, how could she,
it's, yeah, like, it could have been any number of things that are serious, like, she's a very serious job,
yeah, sign of the times, sign, no, of the times, the working mom.
true but yeah, so Elena and Caroline do realize that something's, mm-hmm, not right, and then Damon and Stefan realize from that vervain that they've got to go after Mason. So they find him in the woods. Caroline, this is all very, like, it's all cut up. We're going back and forth.
Yep.
Caroline and Elena go to the top of the hill so that they can listen and, mm-hmm, try to find where Stefan and Elena is. You know, Caroline pulls her hair back from her ears, yeah, like, the, listening.
Listening, yeah.
And also I just had to laugh because poor Candace, they had her in, like, these heels, like, these heel, yep, boots. And you can see her trying to get up the hill in this woods and, like, in these boots. I just thought it was funny. I was like, yeah, they had to throw in the heel boots to make her run around the woods. But anyway.
Interesting choice, but yeah. And then eventually, we do see Stefan and Damon, mm-hmm, find Mason. They come, yes, across him in the woods. And immediately they sort of start to taunt him. Yeah. Immediately shot.
Like, immediately shot dead. Fired. Yeah.
Yeah, shot dead. Liz is a little trigger happy. In
oh,
a way
she definitely is.
I am not, but.
Yes, fair.
Maybe it's different when you're with vampires. I don't know. Fair. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so Liz and her deputies do show up, you know, wooden bullets in hand, vervain ready, yep, to go.
Ready.
And they inject them with the vervain too after shooting them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have to say the hair and makeup department killed it with this episode because I love Caroline's makeup, but also Stefan and Damon, I noticed it in the scene when they were running around before they were shot, that they both looked so good too. Like, their hair was exactly how I picture both of their hair. And because, you know, it fluctuates sometimes. Like, there's definitely scenes where Ian's hair is, like, way too black. The start of season three, it's, like, jet black. Jeremy had that issue too in season one.
Yep.
But Stefan and Damon's hair is, like, perfectly exactly how I pictured it. Like, the perfect, you know, updos and the perfect, like, everything. Yeah. I was like, the hair and makeup department was on it this episode. Yeah. Like, they really knew what they were doing. So, just had to throw that out there. Then, we jump back to the Lockwood house. Tyler asks Jeremy how he knew everything about all of this werewolf stuff. And Jeremy is really smart in saying that, like, he read the Gilbert journals and that, you know, his ancestor wrote about werewolves and the Lockwoods being werewolves. And, you know, he put together that Matt was attacked by a wolf on the night of the full moon, and Mason had just gotten to town when all of this started happening. And it's really smart. It's obviously a huge jump.
Yeah.
But it's like,
but he gets plausible. Yeah.
It's definitely plausible, especially as, like, a crazy teenage boy. It's like, yeah, sure.
Sure.
And Tyler basically, you know, had confirmed it without Jeremy even really having to take that big of a leap. All he did was show him some drawings of wolves, and Tyler, like, confirmed those suspicions.
Yeah.
And again, Tyler is less smart in this situation because he immediately starts telling Jeremy everything he knows. Like, the poor guy just really needs a friend, and he's like,
he really does.
He's like, you know about this stuff? Let me tell you.
Yep.
He literally goes so far to show Jeremy the moonstone. Yeah. Like, literally pulls it out, shows him, tells him all about it, tells him what Mason's really been up to, and that that's what Mason is really there for. And like, he's giving him the whole, like, kick-a-boodle.
The whole story. He tells him he's not a wolf, but Mason is. Yeah, like,
you have to kill somebody.
Tyler knows, Jeremy now knows.
Yes. Yeah. So, way to go, Jeremy.
Yeah, he killed it.
Yeah.
Good long con.
Speaking of killing it, back to the park.
What a segue.
What a segue. Liz, Mason, and the deputies, they move Stefan and Damon's bodies. And, you know, they move them into the old slave quarters. Again, we're running way too fast and loose with that. Just really using it at every opportunity.
Overutilizing this place,
And then, you know, Liz makes Mason leave because, you know, the law. It's the law. It's the right thing. Mason can't be there for that. He's a citizen. He's a civilian.
Which also, so funny. What?
Yeah.
Liz is DeLulu.
Like, I guess she's sort of right, but it's also, like, that he's not trained for this. But it's like, Liz, you guys are barely trained for this. Like,
aren't trained for this. What?
At this point, let's just say it's a council thing and that Mason's just now inducted in the council. Like, we're running fast and loose with the rules anyway. Mason does agree, though. He leaves. But, you know, he's going to learn a hard lesson today. If you want something done, you got to do it yourself. And he does not do that in this situation.
Yeah. He tries. He tries to confirm, like, you're going to kill him, right?
Yeah. But he does leave. And when he leaves, he runs into Elena and Caroline outside. Mm. And he threatens to tell Liz about Caroline because he immediately realizes she's a vampire.
Yep.
And when Caroline tries to threaten him back, he grabs Elena and threatens to snap her neck, which I'm shocked because would Mason snap Elena's neck? Like, multiple reasons. First being, obviously, that goes against Catherine's plan, which tells me he has no clue what Catherine's larger plan is here. Otherwise,
no, he
would
not
kill.
Doesn't.
He definitely doesn't. He would never kill Elena if he knew, which it doesn't benefit Caroline or Catherine at all if he knows any of that.
Yeah.
So that tracks. And then the other fact is also just how can he do that to Jenna? So it surprised
or
me.
A teenage girl.
Yeah, just, like, a random
kind
teenage
of not
girl.
Doing anything. Yeah.
Yeah, it surprised me. But it does show the desperation, I think, that he has in this moment and realizing how big of a threat Caroline actually is to him. And again, like, not being a full moon, like, he is the weaker one in this situation like, really might not survive this. Which he does say, you know, like, oh, you think you can take me while I've got her, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah.
And Caroline's like, bet.
Easily.
Yeah, I can.
Easily, yeah.
And so Girl Power Caroline saves the day and takes out Mason without literally anything even happening to Elena. She manages to, like, grab
Elena's
him off of
fine.
Her.
She doesn't even have to kill Mason.
Yeah.
Just kind of gets him out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah, easy. And that gets them to keep moving where, you know, we do see Liz is now moved on to questioning Damon about.
Questioning. She's interrogating and shooting Damon repeatedly.
No, she's shooting Stefan's unflinching body, which is the crazy part.
She's shooting both.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Damon is it, like you're saying, like, Damon's at least moving around. He's, like, almost coming to.
Yeah.
But Stefan might as well be dead. Like, you can't even confirm
shooting
he's a vampire
he's not
because
even
he's
moving.
Liz is still, like, shooting him up, like,
She's trigger happy, that woman.
She really is.
Yeah, it really shows.
We'll get to another example. Yeah,
really shows Lizzie's true colors for real. And she's questioning them about like how they walk in the sunlight. Like clearly, she's got no clue the wider anything of this. She's just like, "How are you walking in the sun?" Yeah. Which you know, Damon's not answering any of this. And as this is happening, Caroline and Elena make it outside the cellar. But Caroline does hear that her mother is the one down there doing this, and obviously freaks out because like she doesn't want to have to face what she's been avoiding. But Elena obviously is not, she can't wait, she knows that like this is gonna kill Stefan, and so she runs in anyway. Classic Elena, she's gonna like go in no matter what. And I just have to say, like, imagine Candace, like this is such a cool acting opportunity for her, because going from season one Caroline, who is just this like, I don't know, like, you know, insecure, very mean teenage girl type, to like having to play this scene, which I think she does really well at, of like this like, oh my God, I'm a vampire, my mom is like a vampire killer, and I'm about to have to face this moment with her. And I think she delivers this like small acting moment like really well. It feels very genuine, and like a very genuine freak out, and like you can see that like decision making happening in her brain of like, oh my God, like what do I do? Do I like leave them down there to die, or do I have to like face this right here, right now? It's really great. And then we do see Elena coming in. It really does nothing, obviously, because she gets in there and they're like, get out of here.
Yeah, this is just like, don't, you shouldn't be here.
She can't even really get past the first cop.
Yeah.
But it does work as a distraction, because while they're all focusing on Elena, Caroline, of course, does make the decision to come in there. And, you know, she sneaks in, she bites a deputy. She, one starts shooting at her and she uses the body to shield. Like, you know, she's wreaking havoc, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, she kind of ends up in the shadows as all the deputies are taken down, and she emerges from the shadows, face covered in blood, and Liz realizes the vampire that she's currently aiming her happy little gun at is her daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, Caroline does say, hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. Ooh, it's a great moment.
Great moment. Yeah.
Yeah, I really love Caroline's story arc, and it happens so fast, and I feel like this is, like, that moment where we're really getting Caroline for the first time, because I feel like, you know, she turned into a vampire a few episodes ago, but she's really been living under the stress and the high emotions and trying to adjust to that. And also the fear of Catherine.
Yeah.
And this is the first episode where I feel like we're really getting that, like, true look at, like, what Caroline becomes as a vampire when not sort of burdened by those things.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that more further in this episode, and especially in the next one. But this, to me, was kind of that first moment of, like, Caroline being able to embrace the vampire. So I thought that was worth noting.
Yeah, it's like you were saying, she sort of makes that choice to go down into the cellar and show her mom like who she really is. And it's also, you know, it's the real choice of, do I go down there and save them or not? But it's also like sort of like the self-acceptance metaphorical choice. Like,
that's
she
does, true.
I feel like that is, like you're saying, like that's the point. She chooses to embrace it. She's willing to risk it.
Yeah,
she is a vampire. She's willing for her mom to find out.
Yeah.
Big turning point for Caroline.
Yeah, and it's a powerful moment too, of getting to, she's the one that saves Stefan and Damon's life.
Yeah,
they would have died.
That's big.
And she stopped Mason, she kicked his ass, like cool. She's like,
she's a badass.
Yeah, she is. And we'll get into it more again in the next one, but it really is a turning point for Caroline, this moment specifically in this episode. Cut to Damon needs to heal, so he's just feeding on like one of the dying deputy's bodies right in front of everyone.
Yeah, he's just trying to come back.
It just feels weird and wrong, but it's so funny.
Yeah.
But also, now we gotta go to Liz. What a horrible way to find out all of this. Your best friend, your daughter, other people you know and are close to, and, you know, seeing your deputy's like dead body getting fed on by your BFF, it's just crazy. It's too much. It's too much to take in at once. Damon grabs Liz and he shakes her, and everyone freaks out and starts screaming to stop, and he's like, I'm not gonna hurt her, she's my friend, I wouldn't do that. And I love that Damon does make this decision to stick by Liz and calling, you know, her his friend. And you know, even though that she threatened to kill him slowly for information, yes, still, it was almost like a pass in the, like, oh yeah, yeah, you are my friend. That's exactly what I would do too.
Yeah, exactly.
Stamp of
Damon,
approval.
Yeah, Damon probably like respects her a little bit more because of it.
I kind of think he does.
He probably does. Yeah, knowing Damon.
Speaking of respecting and friendship, back at the Lockwoods, Tyler and Jeremy are still talking about the Moonstone. Tyler says he didn't give Mason the Moonstone because he's just a dick like that.
Yep.
Love that self-recognition.
True. Self-aware. Yeah.
Love self-awareness. And he also says, of course, it's because he doesn't trust Mason, and so he doesn't want to just give it to him, which I think is like such a good point. It's
He has no reason to trust him.
Then we see the Corey and the house girl. That's what she always is in my head.
I know. Yeah, no, that's always what I think of her as.
That's definitely a dated reference. Some people are going to not know because they were too old for that show, and some people are going to not know because they were too young, because that was a one-season show.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were also almost, like, too old, but yeah.
But it hit it just at the just time. The Corey and the house girl, Sarah, she comes in and steals the Moonstone. Classic teenage girl trying to flirt with a boy. Yeah, he's like, I don't know how to get your attention.
Let me take this. Yeah.
Yeah, so she goes racing away with it up the stairs, and of course, Tyler follows her, not Jeremy, as she probably wanted. And Tyler follows her and grabs it, which results this like stumble on the stairs, results in her falling all the way down the stairs. And, you know, it's this really intense moment of like, oh my God, did Tyler just literally trigger the curse right now? They should know he didn't because of the eyes didn't happen.
Yep.
But again, proving Sarah is the worst and she sucks because she was pretending that she died. She's like, fooled you. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. Not funny.
Yeah. Literally no context, even if the werewolf thing wasn't a part of it. That's so not funny. It's just so funny. You died.
Not a fan.
So Tyler was freaking out. And then as soon as he realizes she's not dead, it kind of makes him freak out even more of like, oh my God, like you see this moment of him in like really deep thought where it's like that affected him deeply for like multiple reasons.
Yeah.
And she's not aware of what she just did to
him. Yeah, she has no idea.
Yeah, that's a big moment for Tyler for sure.
Yeah.
We'll come back to what the effects of that are.
Yeah, definitely.
The rest of them now have made it to the Salvatore house. Caroline shows up with stuff for her mom. And I love her little dialogue with Stefan when she first arrives. She asks Stefan if he got some bunny blood in him.
Yep.
And he's like, I'm all good, thanks. Like, it's really cute.
It's funny.
And Liz is in the basement with Damon. And, you know, she's calling in her sick day that she's not going to be in for a little while. And, you know, we don't address the dead deputies or the fact that she's not just going to
stay
sick.
Down there, I guess.
I don't know. She's just sick. Who cares about covering up the rest of them?
Yep.
And then, you know, Caroline gets down there and just overhears her mom saying to Damon to keep Caroline away from her because Liz doesn't want to see her, which is obviously this confidence Caroline was getting. What a blow.
Yeah.
She obviously runs away upset, and Stefan and Elena go to follow her, but then Stefan gets distracted seeing the blood cooler in the basement. Yep. So he starts going over to the blood cooler, and you can see Stefan is debating over the cooler of whether he should drink or not.
Mm-hmm.
When Elena comes back and finds him, and they start arguing over that, over drinking blood, and whether or not Stefan should drink it. You know, Stefan's debate is that he needs it. He almost died that day because he didn't have any human blood in his system.
Yeah.
And, like, the one shot was, like, enough to take him down. And he, if he just starts drinking small amounts, he could build up a tolerance like they do with the vervain.
Exactly, yeah.
But Elena's like, you can't do that. Like, that's not going to work
for you.
This
is you. We're talking about Stefan. Come on.
Be real for a second.
Yeah.
And, of course, all of this fake fighting that they've done has really backfired because this is now a very real Stelena fight. And Elena does ask, like, is this real? I can't tell. And it is very much real. And I think that the blood debate here is so interesting because I actually really do see it from both sides. Like, I think they're both really valid in this debate because Stefan does need the blood. Like, oh my God, he cannot keep going on in the sort of debates, these problems that they're getting into without it. But, like, Elena is real. He can barely handle it. Elena's barely seen the extent to how little Stefan can handle it. And she already knows, like, bro, you can't handle it.
Exactly. If we're likening it to addiction, which I feel like we have a lot, and the show makes a lot of parallels.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're like, oh, just one shot. Like, I don't know what the...
You're going to open the blood bag and take one sip, Steph? Yeah, right. You're going to chug the whole thing.
Exactly. Also, it's really not the same as, like, drinking the vervain and building up a tolerance. You're not building up a tolerance to the blood. It's not really the same at all.
It's like, I see the logic a little bit and being like, well, if I start to give myself little bit by little bit, I can get maybe used to that.
Practice
amount.
Control. Yeah,
practicing
sure.
Practicing the control. But again, the vervain is something you do not want to drink and actively have a bad reaction to. That's exactly. very different it's than the so blood, different. Which is yeah. tempting yourself from drinking more.
Yeah. Hate to say it, but I'm almost on Elena's side here. I'm almost like...
Yeah. Again, I feel really split because yeah. I am on Elena's side of, like, Stefan, you can't handle it, but also, like, on his side of, like, well, he kind of needs to.
I agree he needs to, but the logic of just taking a little bit,
I think
it doesn't work for me.
Drinking out the blood bag, yeah, that's not going to work. No. So, for now, Elena's side. But we'll get back to where this fight ends up. Because yeah. for now, it kind of just ends with them being pissed at each other.
Yep.
So, Elena goes upstairs and finds Caroline, who's crying, obviously. She's really upset.
Yeah.
And she offers to take her home, but Caroline admits that she can't go home because Catherine is always there. Yes. And that... You know, she has been spying for Catherine. She owns up to it. And Elena's like, I know.
We know. We all knew.
And I've been yeah. so mad at you.
Yes.
But Elena ends up being really sympathetic to Caroline about this. Yes. And she asks, she just goes, who did Catherine threaten? Like, it's so obvious that Caroline would only be doing this if Catherine was threatening yeah. somebody. And she says it was Matt.
Of course.
Of course it was Matt. I love that he's always, like, the weak little pawn that's getting threatened. He's yeah. so helpless.
He's the most human. Like,
yeah, he is the yeah. most human. Like, of course he's the too thing easy that people to will, yeah, dangle as the reason to do something.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting, this conversation. You know, Caroline says, why is Catherine doing this? What does she want? It's kind of a throwaway line because, you know, why does it matter? It's just kind of a random line. Because mm-hmm. Elena replies, that's the million-dollar question. And again, I think this is such an interesting example of the expert storytelling and, like, mm-hmm. film that's going into this. Because it's, like, yeah, it's a throwaway line to say, what is Catherine doing? What does she want? You know, what does she want? That's the million-dollar question. It's just a random line. But, like, that is such setup as a viewer, especially as a first-time viewer, where you're like, oh, this – they want us to think about – what Catherine's doing and why is this happening, and to actually start questioning it, like, because at this point I think you really could just be like, Catherine's just messing with them, she's just not happy about mm-hmm. Stefan and Elena,
she just loves Stefan, she genuinely wants them to break up, yeah. yeah,
and she's just being like evil. Like, I think that up until this point that's kind of what you're thinking, and then, like, I think this is a really good yeah. way for the writers to be like, do not chalk it up to this. Do not there's let yourself more, yeah. think that this is just Catherine being Catherine. Like, something is going on.
Definitely.
And you need to think about that. So, great example yeah. there of the good writing in this episode. Back at the Lockwoods.
Not as good writing. Yeah, we go back to the Lockwoods. Mason walks in, says, hey. Tyler goes, I almost killed a girl today. It was giving the TikTok that was like, no, hello, how are you? No, yeah, like,
I love just that.
Opens, I almost killed a girl today. Mason's like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, what a leaf. And then Tyler goes, oh, like, you know, I did it, but she's fine. Like,
she's fine.
And Tyler does tell yeah. him what happened and how he hated how that felt.
Yep.
You know, and Mason, you know, is kind of just listening to this. Mm-hmm. And then Tyler gives him the moonstone.
Yeah.
You know, he says, like, I don't want to be a part of this. Like, I don't think that this is for me.
Yeah.
And I think it really is just Tyler attempting to separate himself from the werewolf thing. He's like, I can't handle this. I just yeah. gotta, like, do anything I can to no longer be a part of this in any way, shape, or form. Back to the Salvatore house, Elena helps Caroline settle onto the couch because she's going to spend the night there since she can't go home. Catherine is, you know, is terrorizing over her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Damon catches her before she leaves for a quick chat. Yep. And we've talked about the Delena vibes in the last few episodes, and we haven't really that much this one. But, you know, they have shifted dramatically every episode. And this is a strong example of that mm-hmm. because, you know, Elena thanks him for Liz, and Damon ends up vouching for Stefan and saying, yeah. you know, that, like, you know, he does need the blood.
Yeah.
And, like, he needs to do this, and he needs your support in this. And that really goes such a long way for Elena to see Damon, one, being a real friend to Liz and really caring about her and displaying yeah. how much he does care about her. And then, two, like, doing something that is selfless. We know how much that matters to Elena about yes. seeing the person she loves being selfless. And seeing him being selfless and saying, like, you know what? Go back to Stefan. Like, this is, you know, you should trust him and you should work with him on yeah. this. I think that that was such a shift in the Delena dynamic, is this little quick conversation. And it does end up convincing Elena to go back to Stefan, to not leave and go find him and try to talk it through again about the human blood. And she does say, like, she doesn't want him to do this alone. And she offers to Sefin to drink her blood.
Yes.
That if he's going to drink blood, it's going to be hers. And he does drink a little bit of hers. And mm-hmm. then they make out. So romantic after drinking your blood.
Yes.
Also, I just got to say, people are so liberal with the palm slicing. In the I know. She goes straight for slicing the palm. Like, does your palm heal faster if it's cut than, like, somewhere else on your body? Like,
doubt it.
I feel like that would be worse because, first of all, have you ever tried to put a band-aid on your palm?
Yeah, it doesn't work. Anywhere on the hand is hard. Yeah.
Yeah, like maybe the back of the hand or like a finger you can get, but like not on the palm. It doesn't stick.
Yeah, no. Not sure what she's thinking there, but
I don't know why they do that spot all the time. So, you know, they have the moment. They've agreed that they're going to work together on this.
Yes. Speaking of having a little moment, mm-hmm. we see Mason walking up to and getting into a car that's waiting for him. And, you know, we just sort of see him at first. We don't see, like, who's in the car waiting. Mm-hmm. But then we see it's Catherine waiting for him. And we immediately go flashback to the flashback.
Yes.
We go back to the flashback that the episode started with a year ago in Florida where, you know, Mason has just killed his best friend because his best friend thought that Mason was cheating with his girlfriend. Yep. And we see, like, the aftermath of that. We see Kathy, Mason's girlfriend, Kathy, run up to Mason and ask, like, what's wrong? Like, what just happened? And Mason tells Kathy in the flashback, you know, like, he had it in his head that I was cheating on, like, I was having an affair with Marla, however you want to say it. And they have a little, like, a hug and embrace. We don't see Mason. We see Catherine's face while they're hugging. And we see her smile. Classic. Just a little smile.
Yeah.
So
but we see that flashback and then back to the present day. And clearly this is telling us that Mason was working with Catherine this whole time.
Yeah.
You know, that she's been, like, putting in the work. She went down there to Florida. She seduced him. She, like, brought him back up. Like,
she's been dating him for over a year for the bit. I'm obsessed with her.
For the
bit.
For the plan. Catherine is always dedicated to a plan.
So dedicated.
And Mason tells her that he got the Moonstone. You know, he did it. He completed the mission again.
Yep.
Clearly, she was the one that made him go get this Moonstone.
Yep.
As a reward, they start making out. Nina really got to make out with everyone in the show except for Jeremy, because that would be way too Game of Thrones of them. Even if Catherine did it, it would be weird.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Even so if they weird. Did Catherine. So weird. Yeah, I'm glad they didn't try to go that route. Yeah.
But everybody else she kissed, including Mason.
Lucky girl.
Lucky girl. So, yeah. Also weird to note that Mason got together with Catherine when she's Elena's doppelganger. Like,
so weird. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. I feel like I have so many questions about the Mason-Catherine relationship.
Yeah.
And how,
because,
I don't
know. He hadn't been in town in a long time because he thought Tyler was going to be like a little boy when he got there. So clearly he didn't know what Elena, like when he got together with Catherine, he must not have known what Elena looked like yet, which is fine. But then did Catherine kind of pre-warn him? By the way, I have a doppelganger in town, you'll notice.
Yeah, she looks literally identical.
Or did he just stumble on that and was just like, okay, cool, like whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we needed a little bit on that because.
Yeah. I know, I would have loved just a throwaway line. Just let me know.
Yeah, like, he never even seems surprised when he first sees Elena. Like, not that not that I picked up on, but I don't know. I might go back and watch, honestly.
Honestly, I might too. Yeah. I don't know if we see when he first sees her, so.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
But obviously, Catherine has told him some stuff because she also says in this scene not to mess with
Damon and Sefin. Yeah. She's very clear. His goal is just the Moonstone, like, oriented.
And
yeah.
He's like, I thought you would be happy. So clearly he knows some background and some something. But how much? Clearly not everything, clearly.
Yeah. We'll get into so much more about Mason in the next episode.
Yes.
I'll save some of my commentary for there. But for now, for this episode, we only had the two deaths.
And Mason's friend Jimmy in the flashback.
Mason's friend Jimmy in the flashback, killed by Mason.
Blunt force trauma.
Yeah, blunt force trauma, for sure. And, the two deputies in the present day, who I think are both technically killed by Caroline.
Yeah, I looked on the Vampire Diaries wiki, and one was listed as Damon when he was drinking the blood. They think, like, maybe Caroline just injured him, and then Damon did the actual, like, technical killing. Mm. But on screen, it's kind
of like it's Caroline. Because the other one I thought was maybe Liz shooting when she when true. Caroline uses the one. When Caroline holds one of them up. Like,
so maybe that's the one that Damon is feeding off of.
Yeah, maybe. maybe.
So maybe Liz did the real damage, but Damon did the final act.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Hard to say, but...
Either way, they're dead.
Yeah, they're dead. But who do we want to count them for our tally?
Oh, that's true. Let's give them both to Caroline.
I think that's fair.
I think her ultimately...
She does the... She causes the chaos. Yeah.
Then, speaking of chaos, we've got our sort of out-of-pocket what would we have done differently moments. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's some two clear outliers here that I have to call out. First is, of course... I guess we could say this is the act of it and also the writers making the scene exist, which is Amy apologizing for slutting it up.
Yeah.
Why did they make her do that and why did she do that?
Yeah.
Just funny. And the second one is Tyler choking out Jeremy just for drawing wolves. He was like, this kid is drawing wolves howling at the moon. I'm choking him. I'm taking him out.
Yeah. I think the latter one, because I didn't really have anything, like, written down. I didn't really have anything specific. But when I was watching, I was like, Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler.
This is a reach. You're being ridiculous.
We know you have anger problems and can't control your emotions, but, like, bro, you're giving yourself away.
You gotta relax. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll give the out-of-pocket would have done differently to Tyler choking Jeremy just for drawing some wolves. Like,
yeah.
Boy. Now our best quotes.
Best quote. This episode didn't have a ton of quotes for me.
Yeah.
But I think I have to go with Stefan's quote. Today when we're fighting, if I say, I can't do this anymore, Elena, it really means I love you.
Aww.
And only because I've seen so many TikToks where that line, I can't do this anymore, Elena, comes back up when they actually break up.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It must be season 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes back up when they're sitting on the porch and they actually break up. And Stefan says that line again, like... You know,
that's so cute.
Suggesting
though.
It still means he still loves her.
Yeah.
So for me, I think that quote had to win. And again, only enhanced by a rewatch and everyone on TikTok, like,
yeah,
pulling so much more from the show. So that was it for me.
I think let's do that one. I didn't even think about that one, but mine was kind of the same note. I picked an Elena one that she says at the end when they decide to drink the blood together. And she says, it's you and me, Stefan, always.
Oh, I do like
that. It's such
one.
A good Stelena one.
It is.
Honorable mention to why are you being such a bitch to your mom?
Yeah, that's a good honorable mention.
I really liked that one.
I like that one a lot.
We had some good picks for Song of the Episode this
Definitely.
One, though. Anytime that there's, like, a picnic or, like, a get-together type, there's lots of, like, good song choices, and I felt like this was one that had some good ones. I had two honorable mentions and one winner.
Okay.
I feel like all of them are good picks, though, so I'm not strong into one.
Yeah, I had two songs, but I don't think I picked really, like, a clear winner, because I liked a lot of the choices. Like, they were all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say one was from the Vampire Diaries CD, of course.
Of course it was.
Obsession by Sky Ferreira.
Oh, that's a good one.
When Sarah and Amy and Jeremy are drinking at Tyler's. I thought that was just, like, a fun one. Spoke to the
It fit the TV vibe. Vibes, yeah.
For sure. So I really liked that one as an honorable
mention. That's a
good one. Another song I really liked is The Fellowship by The Smashing Pumpkins, which plays in Mason's Florida flashback scene. I thought those were, again, these are all songs that, like, really fit the vibe for me.
Yeah, The Fellowship was one of mine because I like The Smashing Pumpkins, and I really thought that was, like, it really worked for, like,
it did work.
Florida, like, Mason's vibe. I don't know, it really fit him.
Yes, it did.
I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
So that was
my
one of mine.
Winner, the one I wanted to win, which I'm assuming you also nominated, is Yeah, Yeah, Yeah by New Politics.
Interesting.
It's not that.
No, I
oh
just.
Oh my God. That's funny.
Okay, I didn't really pick, like, a winner because I liked a lot of the songs. The only other song I had was Punching in a Dream by The Naked and Famous, and I think it plays at the end.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, the more sentimental choice. So it was an obligatory pick.
I should have never called her out. Now she's only going to pick the sentimental ones. I only nominated the Fun Party ones because the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah is when they're chasing after the moonstone. Yeah. It's when they're chasing after the moonstone.
That's true.
And it's just fun, and it's such a song that I was like, why listen to this? I'm so nostalgic for this song. I love
it. It is a very... Yeah, I think that's almost why I didn't pick it, because it was like, it's like a nostalgic song.
I like it
outside of the Vampire Diaries.
I don't know. Should we do the Smashing Pumpkins then, since it's our one crossover that we both nominated?
We could do that. We could also do a tie, because I like the song. Yeah, but...
I'm split. I don't know what to do here.
Should we make everyone vote again?
I guess we'll do a poll again. It was fun when you guys did the poll last time.
It was. I voted just because I wanted to see the results.
Yeah, it was fun. Okay, we'll do a poll again. So are we doing it between...
Why not?
What is our poll between?
I think The Fellowship by Smashing Pumpkins and Yeah, by the new politics. I think we can leave it to just those two. Okay. I feel like those are the two.
We'll put it up to a poll to decide.
Yeah.
And honestly, I really like both. I feel like it's either way, and I really enjoyed both. We'll see who wins out. We'll put it on our, if you're watching this on Thursday when it came out, it will be on Monday on our Instagram. So check that out. Let us know what should the best song be, because we can't choose.
Yeah, you guys were too good to us in actually voting on the poll. Yeah. Now we're going to always just make you guys choose.
Might as well. Sometimes it's so clear cut and sometimes it's not. And this is just one of those where it's just not that clear cut. It's really not. All the songs are good. So why not? And then whatever song you guys choose, we'll add that to our Song of the Episode playlist we have on Spotify. It's linked in all of our various bios and descriptions, so you can listen to all of our winners of Best Song. You can also find our TikTok, our Instagram, and everything else there to just further enjoy the show and talk and communicate with everybody. It's always a fun time.
Yeah, and you can listen to the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and you can watch the video version on YouTube if you're not already doing that. Yeah. So join us next week for Season 2, Episode 6, Plan B.
A deceptively good episode.
Yeah, a very dark horse, amazing episode.
Yeah, really excited for that one. So hope you join us next week. Thanks for watching and or listening to this one. Bye.
Bye.